You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our first of three podcasts on chronic spontaneous urticaria, hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Chronic Spontaneous Urticaria, the importance of prompt diagnosis and evidence-based management with targeted biologic therapies, burden of disease, and diagnosis. This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of U.S.-based dermatologists who diagnose, treat, and/or manage patients with chronic spontaneous urticaria. My name is Stephanie, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about the burden of chronic spontaneous urticaria and also learning about the steps to help diagnose your patients promptly. Joining us today is Dr. Gil Yosipovich. Dr. Yosipovich is the Professor and Stiefel Chair of Medical Dermatology, Director of the Miami Itch Center, Dr. Philip Frost Department of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery at the Miller School of Medicine, University of Miami in Miami, Florida. Dr. Yosipovich, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure being here.
So tell us, doctor, what causes chronic spontaneous urticaria?
Well, actually, in the majority of the cases, we don't know. It's an idiopathic autoimmune disease that activates mainly mast cells to induce this disease.
Are there other types of urticaria? And if so, how might you differentiate from one another?
Excellent question. So yes, there is another form of urticaria called chronic inducible urticaria. This one is triggered by several stimuli. Example is like exercise-induced urticaria. Even Olympic runners have been reported to have this occasionally. Sweating, that is called cholinergic urticaria. It could be also induced by vibratory urticaria. Water, called echogenic urticaria, where patients have to be extremely careful in going into swimming and swimming pools and in the ocean. There's also a sunlight-induced urticaria called solar urticaria. The list goes on, but I would like to also mention cold-induced urticaria and heat-induced urticaria. And I'd like to mention, and this is both in this chronic inducible urticaria, but also in chronic spontaneous urticaria, is stress. This is another common factor. A lot of times patients mention that their urticaria condition is aggravated or shows up in times of psychological stress. And then I have to also emphasize that some drugs can cause urticaria, in particularly the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, beta-lactams, the antibiotics. They are the most known to trigger urticaria. And the NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they could up to 25 to 50% of patients with chronic urticaria may aggravate their condition. In terms of even food, we have to remember that there could be patients who have allergies to food and can cause them urticaria, like a peanut allergy, eggs, eating seafood, chocolates, alcoholic beverages. So quite a large list of inducers of urticaria. But I would say the majority of chronic urticaria, that more than 90%, we actually don't know.
Interesting. Thank you for that. Would you be able to talk us through the pathophysiology of CSU?
Yeah, so the CSU is caused by an immune reaction of a degranulation of mast cells. I call the mast cells like a bomb because they release so many mediators. It's not just histamine, it's the classical one that we know, but it's also they release bradykinin, prostaglandins, leukotrienes, eosinophils, some neuropeptides, cytokines. The list goes on, but all of them cause that whelps in the reaction that we see. And they cause vasodilatation, an increase in vascular permeability, and that's what we see, urticaria, and sometimes there are even angioedema. It's that life-concerning, that could be a situation where you need to go to the ER. And in terms of that pathophysiology, again, I mentioned that this is an autoimmune reaction, basically it is caused by IgE autoantibodies against autoallergens or IgG on autoantibodies directed against mast cells high affinity IgE receptor, the Fc epsilon receptor. So this in a short description kind of covers this pathophysiological aspect of CSU.
Thank you for that. It sounds like it's a debilitating condition. Can you tell us a little bit more about the burden of CSU?
Yes, it's clearly disabling. There's a significant impact on patients' quality of life and effect on their social daily activities, sleep. Many of the patients don't sleep well, and also on social functions. And I'll give you the example is that patients in this disease, as it waxes and wanes, so it's not like a rash of atopic eczema or psoriasis. The patient has it all day long. And in this scenario, patient, it shows up without them knowing when it can show up. And that's causing a lot of stress and anxiety. I can give an example is that a patients who have to have interactions in public and they're afraid that, you know, the rash would show up in the middle of a job or a interaction with in a lecture or any of these activities. So the anxiety level is extremely high due to that fact.
Switching gears here, Dr. Yosipovich, can you tell us about your approach for diagnosing CSU? Our listeners would greatly benefit from your expertise on the subject, especially if there's any do's and don'ts to keep in mind during the diagnostic process.
Okay, I'll start. So first and foremost, we need to diagnose what is urticaria. And the question is, these are lesions that wax and wane in a period of 24 hours. And they're not persistent for more in the same location in longer periods of time. So it's important to understand that this is an urticaria rather than a rash that could look like urticaria. Second, an important aspect is to understand whether the patient has angioedema, such as swelling of the lips or any difficulty breathing, because these are more severe cases. They need also more aggressive treatment. And third is, first, you need to understand whether we are heading for a chronic urticaria, meaning that patient has this condition for more than 6 weeks. Again, these are the cases that are persistent and they could continue for months to years. And it's important to also sometimes differentiate conditions that look like urticaria, but they're not. Like there is a condition of a vasculitis that is called urticarial vasculitis. And it's different also in management between chronic spontaneous urticaria and urticaria vasculitis. So I think this covers the majority of issues that you have to diagnose and to differentiate.
Those are all very specific and interesting points you raised, Dr. Yosipovich, and they'll go a long way to help our listeners arrive at the correct diagnosis for their patients. One last question. Can you share a case study where you diagnosed CSU?
Yes. This is a case of a patient named Sarah Fernandez. She's a 40-year-old, and she had itchy whelps on her arms, face, and trunk that wax and wane and have been ongoing for the last 2 months. Initially, it was she attributed these symptoms to her. She started this soybean diet for weight loss, and she's also recently started Centrum multivitamin supplements. So she started a strict elimination diet. She stopped the Centrum 2 weeks prior to seeing me, but symptoms persisted. It has a significant impact on quality of her life. She was unable to sleep due to itching and the whelps. It made her anxious. She was embarrassed to be seen in public due to the rash. In terms of her history, not a lot of things there, but she had some slight eczema as a child. Let's go into her physical exam. So when I examined her, she didn't have a lot of wheals, about 10 wheals on her trunk, arms, and face. I used this UAS 7 diagnostic tool. So she's considered a mild chronic urticaria. She had moderate to severe itching. So her NRS in a scale of 0 to 10 is quite significant, 9 out of 10. So she's really suffering, although there are not a lot of lesions, the amount of itch is quite significant. And she underwent some labs, CBC with differential, liver functions, function tests, thyroid panel, all were normal. And she was treated before seeing me with oral sedating and non-sedating antihistamine. And also, she went through her primary care clinic and they gave her 20 milligrams of Medrol pack for 1 week. And it didn't do a lot, some partial relief. And then also oral corticosteroids with another course. And after stopping treatment, there was a recurrence in a very short period of time. So this is a classical patient with chronic spontaneous urticaria, and she does not pose any diagnostic concern in terms she, but clearly she requires effective treatments.
Thank you for that information. Would you be able to discuss a little bit of her treatment plan for us?
Oh yes, so I started her with second generation antihistamine. My favorite is cetirizine at a dose of 10 milligrams. But here, we usually, as dermatologists, give one pill a day. But in these cases, you need to have higher doses. I gave it 3 times daily, and sometimes I even give 4 times daily. For control of CSU.
Well, this has been very informative, and I'm sure our listeners would agree. That's all the time we have for today. We'd like to thank Dr. Josipovic for taking the time to speak with us. Hopefully, you're able to tune in to other podcasts in this series. There are a total of 3, as well as some of the many other types of CME programs that MedLearning Group offers. In support of improving patient care, MedLearning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center to provide continuing education for the healthcare team. I'd like to give a special thank you to Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity. Have a great day.